who rescues us when we call, and who leads and guides us according to his unfailing love. You are our God. Our lives are in your hands. Let's worship God together.
Good morning. Welcome to Concordia United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Claire Douglas, and I'm so excited to be here with all of you this morning. Welcome to our first week of stewardship season. This year's stewardship theme is Live Courageously, and we have a wonderful devotional book that is located at the back of the sanctuary, or you can get it emailed to you if you contact the office. So make sure to enjoy those. Also, we have a sign up for the small groups is on the easel in the lobby, and the dinner on Commitment Sunday, which is October 27th, the sign up is located in the fellowship hall. That's the number one announcement I know about. Are there any announcements I missed? Mailed by request, you should already have it via email. Thanks, Barb.
And just to point out, the banner was painted by our
homemade villain. Yes. Isn't this lovely? Absolutely amazing. We will love that for years to come. All right. Will you please join with me in singing? Morning Has Broken, hymn number 145.
Thank you.
Please join me in our praise as it is printed in your bulletin. God has set before us life and death.
We long to choose life.
God has set before us blessings and curses.
We long to choose blessings.
So we gather this morning around the table, Christ's table.
We gather to drink the cup of blessing, to eat the bread of life.
Let us share the meal together. Let us feast on the word.
Let us worship God with joy.
Please join me in prayer. Come, Holy One, teach us your ways. Lead us in your paths. Guide us on our journey. Speak to us your words of life, for you offer us direction and wholeness when we hear your voice and follow. You bless us with your love, shower us with your grace, and help us grow in faith. We seek you, O God, with all our hearts. Be near us this day. Amen.
Let us sing together hymn number 600 in the Red Book, Wonderful Words of Life. Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children to come forward. So I love games a lot. So I brought one with me today because today is a rather unusual holiday, okay? And I thought I would help you guess it using Hangman. But we're in a church, and so therefore we're not going to draw a hangman. So what animal should I draw if you don't get the letters correct?
A sheep.
A sheep. Sounds great. Well, I'll try a sheep. Fair warning, I'm not a great artist. So you know how to play hangman, right? Okay.
A?
A? Now I've got to work. I wrote it down for myself just in case I was having trouble. Because it's a lot of words. Okay. There's an A here. Phew, don't have to draw the sheep. E? Oh, there's no E. Okay, so we'll draw a little sheep head here.
I?
There is an I. There's an I right here.
O?
O? There's a lot of, or there's two, three O's. O, and O, and O. Okay. U? There is a U. There's a U right there.
Y.
Oh, there's a Y too. Lots of vowels in this. That's what happens when you get three words.
L.
L. There is an L. You're doing really good here. Preventing me from having to draw any sheep parts.
M.
M. Yep, there are two M's. P? No P. Uh-oh. Give the sheep an ear. It's a high-quality sheep ear.
N?
N? Yep, there's an N. There's actually two N's.
C?
I got a C. Yep. Whoop. There's the C. Thank you. Oh, I missed an N. Do you know what that word is?
Communion.
We got one word. Do you want help from the congregation?
W.
W? Congregation suggests W, and they are right. There is a W in it.
J-R.
Oh, there is an R. There's no J. Uh-oh, I got to do another sheep here.
D.
Yep, D. Two Ds. Then we got World Communion Day. Yes, yes. Oh, and did I miss a U? I made it harder than it needed to be. World Communion Sunday. That's right. Thank you, congregation, for the assistance. And thank you. You did a really good job. That was a lot of letters. It is World Communion Sunday. Do you know what communion is? Do you remember? So, do you remember how in some services at the end of the service we get a little bit of grape juice and we get a little bit of bread? That's what we call communion, and that is the meal that we share together as a church. And it's based off of the meal that Jesus served his disciples. And so every time we do that, we remember Jesus and the meal that he had with his disciples, and we share a very simple meal. Grape juice and bread is probably not your first choice of meal, right? Yeah. But a very simple meal with all of us here. And on World Communion Sunday, we share it with everybody all over the world. So churches all over the world are sharing this meal with us. So we remember that not just the people in this room, but people all over the world, and even people who have already died and gone before us, take communion with us today. That's pretty cool, huh? So you're not the only kid, because you're sharing it World Communion Sunday with lots of other kids all over the world. Kind of cool. I wonder if they got to play hangman. Let's pray. Repeat after me. Holy God, thank you for the communion. This meal that we get to share with those in this room, with people all over the world, and with people who have gone before us. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Thank you. You were awesome. That was hard.
A reading from Psalm 31, verses 19 through 24. Oh, how abundant is your goodness that you have laid up for those who fear you. and accomplished for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of everyone. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from human plots. You hold them safe under your shelter from contentious tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was beset as a city under siege. I had said in my alarm, I am driven far from your sight, but you heard my supplications when I cried out to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts haughtily. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord.
I know, no Pixar. But we were running out of them, so I'll save them for later. When I first started talking to the stewardship committee for this year about what their theme was going to be, I was really, really excited about this theme, Live Courageously. And I immediately went on to my favorite place, Google, to get some more information on how to live courageously. And I found this absolutely amazing article by Frank Niles, who's a PhD. He's a psychologist. And he wrote an article about five ways to live life courageously. And they're really neat. Today's is live life courageously by defining your values. We're going to talk about by learning from your past, by living in the present, now I got to remember them all. by surrounding yourself with compassionate people, and then lastly, by being gentle to yourself. And so those were his five things. We actually only have 4 weeks in October in which we're looking at stewardship, but I liked the fifth thing so much, we're going to go an extra week. So you get all five. So these sermons are based loosely on that wonderful article by Frank Niles. I highly recommend that you go and find that. Our scripture reading for today comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 11 through 22. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us that so that we may hear it and observe it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it? No. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. See, I have set before you life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, love the Lord your God, walk in his ways, and observe his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not long live in the land that you are crossing in the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. So choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. God adds God's blessing to this, the reading of God's holy word. Will you pray with me? Holy God, you are a God of opportunity, a God who calls us to live courageous and open lives, to listen to your calling, and to go where you lead. Help us to hear you and to choose life this week, that we may glorify you more and more each and every day. Amen. Once, a cowardly person came to a master of martial arts and asked the master to teach him bravery. The master looked at him and said, "I will teach you bravery on one condition. Before we start, for a month you must live in a big city and tell every person that you meet on your way that you are a coward. You will have to say it loudly, openly, and while looking straight into the person's eyes." The cowardly person became really sad because this task seemed very scary to him. For a couple of days, he was very quiet and thoughtful. But to live with his cowardice was so unbearable that he decided to travel to the city to accomplish his mission. At first, when meeting passers-by, the man without courage quailed, lost his speech, and couldn't talk to anyone. But he needed to finish the master's tasks, so he pushed himself, and slowly he began to overcome himself. One day he came up to his first passerby to tell about his cowardice. When he first came up to his first passerby to tell about his cowardice, it seemed that he would die from fear. But as the days went by, his voice sounded louder and more confident. Suddenly there came a moment when the man caught himself thinking that he wasn't scared anymore. And further, the further he continued to do the master's task, the more convinced he was that his fear was abandoning him. That way a month passed by, and then the man without courage came back to the master, bowed to him and said, "Thank you, teacher. I have finished your task. I am not afraid anymore. But how did you know that this strange task would help me?" The master replied, "The truth is that cowardice is only a habit. And by doing the things that scare us, we can destroy the stereotypes and come to the conclusion that you came to. And now you know that bravery is also a habit. And if you want to make bravery a part of yourself, you need to move forward in fear. Then fear will go away and bravery will take its place." Courage is one of those difficult words to describe. Courage is one of those things we seem to know when we see it or feel it, but is remarkably hard to create a definition for. An act that may be incredibly courageous for one person may be extremely easy for another. The word courage comes from the Latin root meaning heart. Actually, the word concordia comes from the same root, and focuses on bravery or inner strength. Courage is something that comes from deep within us, from the seat of our emotions, from our hearts. When we face adversity, instead of turning away, we find the inner strength to live out what we feel is right. And there we find courage. True courage is the bravery to face tough things in life, not without fear, but with inner strength that will lead us through the most difficult moments we can imagine. Courage is therefore a choice, an active decision. Not to act in ways that are driven by things that we dread or fear or cannot understand. It is a choice instead to focus on the goodness and blessings that we see around us every day. My favorite Bible verse comes from the book of Deuteronomy. It's the one I just read for you. Moses says this at the end of his life. He has completed a long and satisfying ministry with the Israelite people. Although Moses was a reluctant leader and prophet at the beginning of his ministry, Moses grows into his role as the leader of the Israelites. And what a journey they had together. From Moses arguing with Pharaoh in Egypt to let them all go, to the parting of the Red Sea, to wandering in the desert and being sustained by God's miraculous blessings, to the Ten Commandments themselves, Moses has been with his people through it all. Moses has had moments of great celebration and moments of frustration as a leader. Probably Moses' greatest sadness was that God had decided that although Moses would lead his people through the wilderness to the very edge of the promised land, Moses would never get to pass into the land intended for his people. Moses knows that his time is growing short all too well. So he leaves these words with the people he has loved and led. Surely this commandment I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will cross the other side of the sea for us and get it for us that we may hear it and observe it?" No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not long live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call the heavens and the earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving your Lord, your God, obeying him and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Moses' command to the Israelites and to us is deceptively simple. He tells us the choice is before us, the choice for life and prosperity, death and adversity, that all we must do is choose life, love God, and obey God, that if we do these three small things that we will live a good and happy life in the land God has provided for us. Moses tells us these things are not too difficult for us to achieve. They are not up in heaven or on the other side of some difficult to cross ocean. These three things live within our very mouths and hearts. The truth is that, like the story of the martial arts master, Moses knows that we already possess all the ingredients of courage that we need. We have the deep desire inside of us and the ability to choose life. Like the Israelites, we just lose our way sometimes in the process. One way that we can continually choose life, love God, and obey God is by defining our values. Our core values are the fundamental life principles that we hold dearest. They give us direction and meaning to our lives. Our values might include love, a sense of belonging, adventure, honesty, faithfulness. When you define your core values, you know who you are, what's important to you, and where you are going. This can give you the courage to say no to a life driven by fear and yes to a completely fulfilling life. Living with courage is not an easy task. It means facing the things in life that make us most uncomfortable. It means being willing to accept things that we do not like and would not choose with grace. Living with courage can be challenging in the best of circumstances. As a pastor, part of my calling in life is to walk with people through the difficult moments that they may experience. It is often hard for me to watch people struggle because I wish so badly that I could fix things and make things better. Yet I often cannot. But the advantage of getting to walk alongside people who are hurting is that I get to see a lot of people who live with an incredible amount of courage. One person who comes to mind in particular is a 94-year-old congregant of a previous parish who I'm going to call Joan. Joan lived in her house alone after her husband died and was doing really well until one day she took a fall while she was home alone. She managed to call a neighbor who called emergency personnel, and Joan was brought to the hospital to recover. After Joan was doing better, it was decided that Joan was no longer mobile enough to live at home, and she and her family found an assisted living facility that was an hour away from her hometown by car, but in a city that one of her children lived in. When I went to visit Joan in her new apartment, I expected her to be frustrated and angry. After all, she loved living at home and hadn't wanted to move. But I was completely surprised to find that she was in excellent spirits. I was so surprised I had to ask, "Joan, how are you doing so well?" She said to me, "Pastor Claire, I didn't want to move here, and if I had had a choice, I wouldn't have. But that doesn't change the fact that this is where I need to be. So I decided I had two options in life. I could act upset and frustrated, or I could spread as much sunshine as I could to those who are here with me. For example, in the cafeteria, I say hi to everyone and ask everyone at my table how they're doing. There was this one gentleman who sat next to me, and he was really crabby. He was mean to the nurses and the caretakers and mean to everyone else around him. He didn't appreciate it when I said hi and asked him how he was doing. He told me I was too perky. But I did it every day anyway. One day I even asked him why he didn't say thank you to the nurses. Well, Pastor Claire, he answers me some days now. And one of the nurses told me the other day that he even thanked her for what she did. Joan is one of the most courageous people I know. I think it takes a very special kind of courage to wake up every morning in a place you don't want to be and shine a light into the world. Yet Joan made it very clear to me that she had looked at her values, and one of them was keeping a positive attitude. It was Joan's strong core values and her love of life that helped her find joy and goodness, even in a situation that she did not choose. Joan realized that even as so many things in her life were changing without her being able to control them, the one thing that she could still control was herself, and she could live as the person that she wanted to be. I pray that we at Concordia United Methodist Church can live with courage. I pray that we can choose life over and over again. I pray that we can define for one another our core values in ways in which we reach out into the world to spread sunshine. Because it takes a special kind of courage to work every day to make this world a better place. And that's the kind of courage I hope we all find here. Amen and amen. Will you please stand and sing with me hymn number 399 in the red hymnal, "Take My Life and Let It Be"? Please be seated. In the United Methodist Church, we pledge to give of ourselves in five ways: through our prayers, our presence, our financial gifts, our service, and our witness. You have already given this church a gift by being here today. In a moment, the ushers will come forward to collect our financial gifts and the prayer cards located in the pews. Thank you for the many ways that you give to God. Would the ushers come forward? With communion? Okay. Please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving printed in the bulletin. We give in grateful thanksgiving for all that God has given us. In the upside-down world of the gospel, we measure our wealth not by what we have, but what we can give away. Let us give away generously in this offering to bless your church, your people, your creation. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to invite you to share any prayers that you may have this morning. I have one. Literally right before I walked in here, I was informed that Mary Ellen Brockman passed away yesterday. So we pray for the family of Mary Ellen Brockman. The funeral arrangements will be made tomorrow morning, and I will have more information at that point. But it sounds like they're looking at Wednesday for the funeral at the funeral home, just so that you're all aware. So we pray for her family, that they would find strength in this community and strength in the comfort of God in this time. We pray for Geraldine, who is in Wetzlaff, who is in a time of transition. She's looking at moving into a new location where she can have a little bit more help. And we know that's such a difficult decision and requires so much acceptance in life. And we pray that she would just know how much God loves her and how much her community loves her in the midst of making those hard choices.
Our daughter carries back surgery tomorrow.
Yes. We pray for Terry, who is having back surgery tomorrow. We pray that that will go really well and that she will be out of pain, because I know she's in quite a bit of pain right now, right? And that she may recover quickly so she can keep up with her young sons. So we pray that the hands of the doctors and nurses would be guided through this process.
I just want to say a prayer of thanks for, first of all, for the medical team who took care of us in Omaha. To go from the ER to have an ascent place to the ICU in less than 2 hours was amazing. And then a prayer of thanks also for all of your prayers, Kari's feelings we're going through the rest of this process. Thanks.
We are so glad to see you here today. All of us are. We are sent our thoughts and prayers your way, but it is so wonderful to have you home. And we are so grateful for the wonderful medical care that you received while you were away from us. And we just pray that you would grow stronger day by day and that you would know that we are all here for you. Yeah.
Pastor Claire.
Woo! The voice of God speaks.
Paul's been struggling with arthritis in the left knee, and he had a difficult time getting in the chair last night. And so after we took a shower, it was a little tiring.
Yeah. Oh, Paul. I know that this is a really frustrating time for you as your health is not doing what you would like it to do. We pray that you would know that there are many people who love you and that there's a God who loves you, even in the midst of this incredibly frustrating time. And we pray that things would get easier day by day. You take a moment to silently pray. The candle prayer for today... I was lucky enough to be at a clergy gathering this week of clergy, and we had this really wonderful speaker, Diana Butler Bass, and she painted this beautiful image of the way that systems could change and that justice could come on a much larger global systematic level. And it was just absolutely beautiful. I wish that every one of you could have been there with me, because I walked out the door and I felt like the voice of God has spoken to me today. So I pray that justice will come down here in this place. Abundantly giving God, you've created this beautiful creation for us to live in. Everything we see around us is an expression of your love, and we know that it is good, because you have declared it and all of us to be good. Help us this week to make choices that lead to life and blessings and joy. Help us to live the kind of loves that show, the kind of lives that show your goodness, even in the midst of adversity. This week we pray particularly for those with health concerns. We pray that you would reach down and touch each and every one of them, that you would strengthen them, that they may grow better day by day. We pray particularly for those with cancer. We pray that they would know that they are more than a diagnosis, that they are beautiful creations of God, who you love and walk alongside always. We pray particularly this week for those who are in long-term care facilities or who are home confined. We know, Lord, sometimes in life we end up in places that we don't want to be, where we wouldn't choose to be. Help us to find your sunshine in those places, that we may know that we are far from alone. And we pray particularly for those who are grieving. We pray that you would walk alongside them and help them to feel the presence of their God and their community, so that they may know that they are never alone. We pray all this as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We get to celebrate communion. On World Communion Sunday, along with everyone else across the entire world who is Christian and who is celebrating today. And we get to celebrate with the communion of saints, those who are no longer with us but who have ever taken communion, get to eat this meal with us at this moment. Isn't that wonderful and exciting? I'd like to invite you to turn to page 13 in your hymnal. I'm going to try and sneak behind here. You don't know this yet, but you will soon. I'm a bit of a communion geek, which means that I have studied the history of every single word in this beautiful text. And some of the words that we are going to say here are 2,000 years old. They're some of the earliest hymns that we have, which is pretty cool. That's where we get this from. In the United Methodist Church, you need not be a member of this church or of any United Methodist Church to receive communion. Christ invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and
a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Would the ushers come forward to help me serve?
Thank you.
lost my place. Ah, there we go. As we go forth, let us go forth with courage, knowing that we can spread sunshine wherever we go in the name of God. Amen.